Good morning. And this is the first of today's speaker session. So, welcome. Well, okay. Welcome. We're going to go, let's get started. My name is Stephanie Douglas, and I'm with Big Austin. And I'm a host for this session. As a leader of women entrepreneurism, I and Big Austin are here to support the advancement of women leaders from across the state and support this community. Big Austin is proud to be a partner of the Conference of Women. As part of this conference, throughout the years, we are here to help and support and empower women through their leadership roles, empowering them to make their mark in and for the companies, their communities, and their careers. I'm thrilled that you are here to participate in branding perception and how to maximize how you are perceived by others. Perception, a thought, belief, or an opinion often held by many people and based on appearance. Even though he had done nothing illegal, the public perception was he had acted dishonestly and he was forced to resign. Perception. Perception, a belief or opinion often held by many people and based on how things seem. Ladies, we know that things aren't always as they seem. Sometimes the experiences of going through courses at Big Austin have changed our clients' perceptions about entrepreneurship and themselves, which in turn has affected on their business. Perception. Someone's ability to notice and understand things that are not obvious to others. The way that someone thinks and feels about your brand, your company, your product, your service, is a perception. You have the power to create that perception today. We have an amazing session in store for you. How people perceive you is essential to your success. And with the onslaught of social media, 24/7, businesses, and the opportunity to mold that perception is constant. Today, this panel of experts, you will hear how to create your unique and impactful brand and then market it appropriately. You will learn how to shape this perception around your already formed personality. And once formed, how do you leverage your unique personal quirkiness and make that desire to be impactful and successful. I'm very excited to introduce the thought leader today. Without further ado, please put your hands together for Ms. Stephanie Carles. Stephanie?
Good morning, everyone. I know that this is a panel that everyone has been so excited about. There is a lot of chatter, of course, about personal branding and what you can do not only on your own, but what can you do with a company that you already work with, if you are employed, and looking to help even further their brand as well as your own. And so I think from the backgrounds and the experiences that all of us have up here on stage, you all will have a great taste of different ways that this is possible. And so hopefully you'll all be able to walk away with some great tidbits that are going to help you. And so without further ado, I'll go through the line and introduce everybody, and we'll get started. So first, I do have Amanda Slavin. She is the CEO and founder of Catalyst Creative and advisory board member to I Am That Girl. Then we have Tamara Fields. She is the managing director at Accenture. Then we have Aliza Licht. She's a fashion communication executive, former DKNY PR girl, and author of Leave Your Mark. And then we have Liz Matthews, who is the executive director, corporate brand and purpose at Dell. So definitely please welcome everybody this morning. So to get started, I will go ahead and start with Aliza. I think that she does have a book out right now, of course, author of Leave Your Mark, that I know has been a top interest to a lot of people, and so I would love to start out and definitely ask her question in terms of what's the first step in building your personal brand?
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, other Stephanie. I'm really happy to be here all the way from New York City. I think, first of all, you have to decide what you kind of want to be when you grow up, right? So the first step for any company and any person in personal branding is to establish what your DNA is. Now, we all have DNA inside ourselves, but what is your DNA of your image? What do you stand for? And it's really a great exercise to write down 3 to 5 adjectives that you want to stand for and create this brand filter. And everything you do needs to fit within that funnel of here is my brand, here is my personal brand, this is what I stand for. And if something comes along that doesn't fit within that filter, that's how you know not to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, then that's perfect. And so, Amanda, I will then turn to you that you have written for the Huffington Post and the Wall Street Journal, different publications. So how do you do that, and also then how does that help create your personal brand?
Sure. So I used to be in nightlife and hospitality. So I started as an educator, a teacher, and then was in nightlife and hospitality, and then started a company. So I had to tell my own story so someone else wouldn't tell it for me. And so I use writing, particularly with Huffington Post, and now Medium is such an incredible place to be able to share your thoughts and who you are and your personality, but I used it as almost a journal entry to the world. Mm-hmm. So I was super vulnerable in those posts in terms of my transition of who I was as an individual in all these different roles. And I found that I wanted to share really about who I was at my core so that there wasn't ever an article that said anything that I didn't say first. So I would say to really be vulnerable and authentic, if you will, and share those thoughts that maybe you never want getting out there. Maybe you put them out there so that no one else does.
That's perfect. So then, Tamara, then what does personal branding mean to you?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, good morning to everyone. But when I think about personal branding, I think I would merge both comments together. And I would take it from the perspective of working in a company or an organization that when you really think about branding, you want to think about your strengths, right? Because it goes back to being authentic. It definitely goes back to having a core value system of who do you want to be from the beginning. But over the years, as you establish your career and you establish who you are building up capabilities and strengths. And going back to your concept of writing down 3 items, I'm a big believer that as you're looking to establish what your personal brand is, you need to have a set of words that describes you. Right, and so as you do that, that helps crystallize who you are, what your strengths are, and how others perceive you. So when they look at you, right, they know that you are disciplined, or they know that you are diligent, or they know that you are determined, or they know that you are a problem solver, right? And you want to be able to crystallize who you are because it makes it that much easier for you to be authentic. And it makes it that much easier for others to evaluate you to determine whether or not you fit opportunities that become available for you.
That's fantastic. And so then, Liz, taking off of what Tamara just said, then what can individuals learn from corporations when they develop their personal brand?
That's a great question, Stephanie, and welcome, everyone. I'm excited to be here. I'm also the one suffering from a horrible cold, so if you hear me clearing my throat, that is me, so I apologize. So you may be wondering, like, what is someone from a brand like Dell doing here in a panel like this? And I think there's so much of what everyone has said this morning that holds true, is that the same process that a big company or a small company, an entrepreneur, goes through to develop their brand applies to each and every one of you. So the process of gathering insights or identifying your purpose, doing research, asking people, how do you perceive me? What's my perception? Developing those core attributes of the brand or that filter that then you want to apply to everything you do. And believe it or not, that's the exact same process a company like Dell or Accenture or anyone goes through to develop their brand, and you can apply it to yourself.
Perfect. So then, Aliza, we come back to you of trying to figure out, is there a way that you would separate your personal and your professional brands?
Well, first of all, just coming off of the last great sort of answers. I just want to say every single person in this room should be able to answer in one sentence off top of their head, what do you do? What is your elevator pitch? You should know it backwards and forwards in any situation and be able to just have it roll off your tongue. And I think it's really important. And going back to what you said about vulnerability, I always think it should be a ratio of 3 cups of success with a pinch of failure. I think that you always have to be human, but you also have to remember that too much information can backfire. So when you're sharing something and you're trying to be vulnerable because you want to be likable by being vulnerable, which I fully agree with, you need to consider if what you're sharing is a core competency of your job. Like if I'm an accountant and I say that I'm not good at math, not good. By the way, I'm not an accountant and I'm not good at math. Okay. Now your question again, I forgot.
So how can people and...
Oh, professional and personal.
Personal. Yeah.
Okay, there is no such thing, you guys. Yeah. It's over. It is over. Unless your accounts, your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram, anything is private. It is Exhibit B right after your resume. And it is the first place people will check to find out about you. And I highly recommend doing a Google search on yourself and reading through your timelines and seeing if you would hire yourself by reading those. You might not like what you see.
Right, and you also, I mean, even to add to that is then understanding what others put out there about you, and so even going back to what you said, you know, you have to not only be aware of what you're putting out,
sure,
but then what people are also putting out about you and what you might need to do to remedy that situation.
And they will never tag you when they do that. They will never tag you. You will have to search your name without the @symbol or the hashtag because people are cowards. They want to talk about everyone, but they never want to say it to your face.
Exactly. Exactly. So then going...
So you better use that @ sign when you talk about us today.
So then, Amanda, going back, I know that you mentioned Medium, which I have a lot of friends that are using it, and it's great. So what other platforms would you suggest for helping to build that personal brand?
Yeah, I mean, Clout is a little bit outdated, but does anyone know Clout? Okay, so I used Clout, as I was saying, when I made that transition from two very different careers, as an entrepreneur coming from nightlife, hospitality. I actually used my Clout to see, it's a identification of the topics that you're a thought leader on. And what I saw about myself, even though I was super philanthropic and I was giving back and I was doing all this good, is that the things that I was sharing about online were mainly about bars, nightlife, and drinking. And I was a first grade teacher, so I was like, this doesn't work me. And so I actually did a complete overhaul of the way that I shared, because what I was sharing online was not really who I was in person. And I had to start to think about, who am I online? What is this identity? And I started to share articles that were empowering or about nonprofits that I cared about or, even my own opinion on different topics other than my job. And so it's actually interesting because my social personality started leading me to the job that I wanted to have rather than the job I did have. And I started to become a thought leader in very different topics than what I currently was employed to be a thought leader in. So I would say, Clout is an incredible, platform. Obviously, I went on Snapchat last night. I couldn't sleep. I went on Snapchat, which is so random, and looked at the discovery tool of the media platforms on Snapchat, and it was incredible. And I am not the Snapchat demographic. Like, I still don't really know how to use Snapchat. But it was amazing to see what different media companies, Refinery29, BuzzFeed, Cosmopolitan, were doing on Snapchat. So I would also recommend looking at Snapchat and seeing what other brands are doing in a creative space.
So then, Tamara, what about taking your personal brand and then seeing how that actually helps you then in your professional life? So how has that helped you at Accenture?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'll talk about my journey to managing director, which is the highest level in our company. And, it was a very difficult journey. It's a small number of people, and we're like 330,000 employees. And so I think at the time, typical of many women, if you've read Lean In and things of that nature, right, I pretty much thought that the work that I had done to date would speak for itself. And that was probably a very arrogant thought process, and I didn't realize it, right? Because I was just really under the consideration of, well, look at all this that I've done, and surely y'all see this, and look at how I've contributed. And I didn't feel a need to talk about what I did. I felt it should be self-evident, you know, and I didn't really spend time with my leads and others who would have influence on whether or not I got that next level of promotion. I didn't spend time talking to them because I just assumed. Right. Be careful of assumptions, right? Mm-hmm. And so that first journey, when I went through the cycle and I didn't make it, I was like flabbergasted. I was like, what? What do you mean? They're like, yeah, no, you didn't make it. I was like, okay. And, you know, I really had to do some soul searching, right? Because I felt that I was qualified. I felt that I had demonstrated the skills. And so I spent some time talking to some leaders in my company, and I started to realize that even though I thought they knew me, and what I could do and how I had contributed, they did not. And that meant that I really had to reestablish a personal brand at another level of leadership within my company. And for a while, that kind of flabbergasted me because I didn't understand quite how to go do that. And so I went to several forums like this, where really people were talking about this topic, and I had to sit down and really start to list out what are the things that I think that I do, what do I bring to the table, what are my skills, what are my strengths, and also what are my weaknesses, right? And I had to list those out and really kind of comprehend that, and then I spent some time putting together a profile of Tamara. Over the last several years and what I felt like my profile would look like in the future over the next couple of years. And so it went backwards, it went present, and it went forward. And I put that together in this little, you know, pretty set of documents, right? And I really started to go talk to people, and I would just say, hey, I put this together. I'm trying to figure out how to tell my story. I want to communicate who I am and what I bring. What do you think about this? And it was just really interesting, the amount of feedback that I got, the amount of interest that I got. And I didn't realize it at the time, but seeking out that help, seeking out that information of response, really it actually started to spread my brand.
Right.
Right. And over time, I really got confident as well. And when, you know, as part of our process, you actually have to write a dialogue of your contribution. It became a lot easier to do that because I had already gone through the process. I'd received all this feedback. And so when I went through that next time, I made it, right? And it taught me something. It taught me that at no point in time can you take for granted that people understand who you are. Mm-hmm. And at no point in time can you take for granted that, you know, you have a perception of yourself, but people's perception of you may not be the same. And so my favorite quote, it's a quote by the CEO in Amazon, is people, your brand, right, your perception is what people think about you when you're not in the room. Mm-hmm. And that is very true. And so now I take a really conscious approach, similar to what you're saying, around what I'm doing, where I'm going, who I'm talking to, how am I presenting myself, and recognizing that that process never ends. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a hard thing for me to contemplate. So I got there, great, but now it was a whole new world and a whole new set of requirements and a whole new set of expectations. And so that process evolves continuously, mm-hmm. and it never stops.
Right.
And so I think consistently you need to be reevaluating who you are, understanding how to tell that story so that others know who you are, and when opportunities come, you know, that becomes a match.
Mm-hmm. So then even taking on what you're talking about, and especially from where you thought you were, then where you wanted to go, trying to fix that along the way, Liz, you have worked with startups.
Mm-hmm.
And so even with such a large brand as Dell, you work with these startups, and so what about startups? And especially, I'm also taking a look at this from even starting your personal brand,
mm-hmm.
and also a business starting their brand.
Mm-hmm.
So what about startups have impressed you?
Yeah, that's a great question, and there was so much rich information, Tamara, and what you said, and what Aliza said is so important, is that the blurring of your personal brand and your business brand is the bottom line, and to think that you can separate them is unrealistic. And so I'm really, really lucky in that I get an opportunity to work with the Dell Women's Entrepreneur Network. So thank you, Stephanie, so much for the entrepreneurship work that you do. It's an amazing organization or group of women from all around the world, and they're entrepreneurs that are so inspiring. And what really, really sets the tone for their inspiration is their story. and how they tell that story and how they weave that story into the fabric of their business. And how in many cases, like you heard this morning with Life is Good, how it becomes an inspiration for what they do. And I have the opportunity to work with an entrepreneur named Sarah Endline. She runs Sweet Riot. Has anyone heard of Sweet Riot? It's candy out of New York, and it absolutely has a soul of social good. And it is so inherent to who she is and what she believes. And I think that you see that as a theme up here, where so much of when you reach out to build that personal brand has to be authentic, and it also has to be thoughtful in how you bring that out to the people you engage with in a one-on-one or on the platforms of social media.
So then taking, I think, Amanda, where you're going with taking a look at your clout and seeing what you were sharing before, and so I even take that into your background. And so how did you make such a drastic change from that background then to now being an entrepreneur of 3 years? There obviously had to be some changes then within that period of time. And so number one, I think it's just so important for us to all understand, as you all have talked about so much, is that you have to be ready for that change and you have to be willing to make that change. And I think that we've all heard that nobody likes change except for a baby with a dirty diaper. And it's going to make you move, and that's okay, and that's the good thing about change. And so what did you do in order to help with, again, such a drastic change?
Sure. I think, as we were saying, it's an evolution. So we're constantly changing as human beings, and how do we tell that story in a way? And we keep using this word authentic. If you're having trouble with your identity and who you are, asking for help is the most vulnerable thing you could do. And sharing your story on stage is hard, but I remember having to ask for help, and it's almost paralyzing. And I think, with social, and that's really where, now what my company does is we essentially combined education and marketing and events and help brands engage millennials through that lens. And people thought I was crazy. A lot of people didn't know I was an educator when I was in nightlife and hospitality. And then when I started my company, a lot of people didn't know I was an event. So no one knew actually what I did or who I was. And so that's where, again, sharing, that part of your journey, and that's the vulnerability side. I really shared that I did struggle with my identity and that I was in this transition and that I did need help and support and I was a little bit confused and I needed mentorship and I needed guidance through that journey. And that's where I wrote every single week. And I think, again, there is this balance, and I loved what you said about the accounting and math. Again, not an accountant, not good at math. But, making sure that you are proud, because I think women, it's really hard for us to share our accomplishments. A lot of the time, Mika Brzezinski, Knowing Your Value, is the best book anyone could possibly read. But it's really about sharing that you know your value and who you are and what you're good at, but also not being afraid to share that you're constantly evolving, you're constantly changing, and you might need support in that process.
So then, Aliza, that brings me to you to try to say, okay, so we've at least talked about what we need to understand about having a personal brand. But then once you think that you have that, obviously it's a changing process and an evolution that you go through. So how do you then continue to build that network?
So a couple of things. First of all, everyone has such great answers, so yay. I wanted to say one thing about clout. It's just a funny thing, but just to keep it in mind. So obviously reading tone and definition of words online is a struggle. I actually created a sarcasm mark because I felt like I was really sarcastic and people didn't quite catch on to that, so I made an actual symbol. Clout. I used to talk about like killer dresses because I work in fashion, and my area of expertise was horror. And when I checked my clout, I was like, horror? Why? What did I talk? And I was like, killer. So you have to be careful with what word use you use in your writing. I just thought that was funny. I think taking my most recent sort of building brand, little brand, if you will, which is my book, Leave Your Mark, my first time writing a book, don't know any book reviewers, don't really know very many authors. I don't know the process, I don't know the publishing industry. It was completely a whole new world. And I think how you grow your network, and what I wanted to do for this sort of little Twitter handle was for it to be like, leave your mark's little house. And I thought, okay, I'm going to make this Twitter handle, I'm going to have this place where if anyone decides to talk about this book, here is this place. And what I think is important to do to grow your network, and what I did for this little Twitter handle, is to surround yourself with people who can help you self-educate. So the people you follow in social media can actually teach you a lot. So I went, I followed all the publishing houses, I followed all the newspapers who review books, I followed the book reviewers, I followed different authors to try to self-educate and understand, what are all these people talking about? What are they looking for? How can I mirror what I am trying to do to create something whereby they will notice me? Because, you know, when you start from zero in social media these days, it's really difficult to grow a community. When I built DKNY in 2009 at zero, I grew that account to 530,000 people organically. You can't do that anymore without spend. So as an individual, you have to, A, surround yourself with people who can help you learn. B, make sure that you are there for a reason. If you are there to entertain, if you are there to share information, if you are there to give behind the scenes of something in your industry, have a purpose and stick to that filter. And then make sure that you are giving, you're doing that service to your reader. I mean, you have to think to yourself, well, why is someone following me at all? What value am I adding to the people who follow me? There needs to be an answer to that question. And then from there, you can really self-critique your timeline and really think about, are you delivering on that promise? And most importantly, are you also aligning yourself with other influencers, sharing their content so that they take notice of you? And being, you know, social in social media. It's called social media for a reason. It's a two-way street. It can't just always be about you. So find people who are like-minded, find brands that are like-minded, and amplify other people's content so they will do the same for you.
So that really brings a question. This doesn't really have to be at one particular person. In fact, I would love to go down the line, and Aliza, I think you did an excellent job, so you have a pass on this. But you can also chime in if you would like. I think that the other important thing is that not only are you building your own personal brand, and it started to remind me of things that I think we've all been taught, and it's to surround yourself with people who you most want to be like, who you want to, you know, just be around, because again, you're going to be like the five people that you're around the most. And so I think that's something very important that we also have to take into account when we're building these personal brands, and the same goes for businesses. Mm-hmm. And so what advice do you have? Because of course, it's the power of, I want to build this, I want to do it the right way, but yet people start to slip. And I think that they, you know, get caught up with, you know, individuals again who might not be the best for you. And I think that a lot of people need to understand that, again, you are who you also follow, and you are who you engage with, as well as the things that you say. And so I think that's another piece that, again, people forget, because they say, well, this is who I am out there, and then they don't realize, well, wait a second, I'm involved in this over here, I'm talking with these people over here. And it's not that you want to ignore anybody else, but yet it's the, you're building your house, and you have to protect that house that you're building. And so what advice do you all have in terms of being around the right people, connecting with the right people, and then again, being vulnerable enough to then also ask those people for help and take advice?
Yeah. So I love what Aliza said, because it is so much about engaging in the conversation and not just pushing information out. It is really engaging and being authentic. And for me, the advice is that use that as your North Star, and use who you want to be and those attributes as that following. And we talk at Dell a little bit about, you know, kind of what is brand and what does it really mean. And I think, Stephanie, you talked earlier about it being perception. And it truly is. And I like to think about it from a personal aspect as it's who you are in your very best day. And on that very best day, when you look out and see who are the people that are giving you energy, whether in social or in an environment, that's your North Star of how you want to engage and who you want to engage with.
Mm-hmm. I think I like your word energy, because I do think that's important.
I do too, yeah.
You don't want to be associated with organizations, groups, companies, or people that do not energize you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I do think that is really important. I understand that some of us may work because it's required and that's how we live every day, but if you're working in a location and an environment that is negative for you, and how you assess that is because it is not energizing you,
okay,
then you are either in the wrong organization within that company or possibly the wrong company.
Right.
And one of the things I do a lot of recruiting, right? And one of the things I tell entry-level recruits when they're just talking to me is that you need to assess the culture of the environment that you're going to. It is more important than money, mm-hmm, right? Because culture, right, needs to align to your authentic self and your personality, because then you can be successful there.
Right.
But if that culture does not align to who you are, you will struggle,
mm-hmm,
right? So energy is important because you need to be energized, right? I think the other thing that I always say from an individual point of view is you need to be purposeful,
mm-hmm,
right? My grandmother used to say association brings about assimilation, right? Do not take for granted that relationships don't impact you, whether they are friends at every level, whether they're professional relationships, whatever the situation is, you need to think about the organizations that you join. You need to think about the places that you spend time. You need to think about the boards that you join, right? All of those things ought to have characteristics, purpose, and points that align to your overall goals, so that you are surrounding yourself with individuals that promote you and promote your thinking as an individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as you define the organizations you're gonna be involved in, the people you're gonna associate with, then you need to think about mentorship and sponsorship, right? Because I really think how you grow as an individual is surrounding yourself with people who are invested also in you, mm-hmm, right? And so those individuals can or cannot be in your company, can or cannot be in an organization that you join or that you're supporting, but it is important to be very thoughtful and purposeful about picking a couple of select individuals who you can share with. And why do I say mentorship and sponsorship? Because people like to make that the same thing, and they're not, right? One is much more personal and much more bi-directional, right? One is about helping me get to the next level or the next thing that I'm trying to do. So sponsorship is very much about advocating for you to the next level, right? Mentorship is really about helping you grow from an individual and personal point of view. And so I think that everybody ought to have a set of mentors, everybody ought to have a set of sponsors, and everybody ought to be associated with a company and an organization that energizes them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll add very few things, because everything was so well said. But as a founder of a startup, I think I have, you know, kind of the other side of this coin, which is to build that culture so that people actually want to work there and make sure to hire authentic Absolutely. Individuals, and also to be my best self, but also not wrap my identity in my company.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been one of the most difficult things for me over the past 3 years, because I don't do our social media. And so what is the voice of the company versus what is the voice of me? And there are all different types of people that work for the company. And so I really go out there a lot and kind of, I am the spokesperson for the company, but I also have to be very respectful of the people that work there as well. And I think that's that big culture piece. I made a big mistake at first, and I hired solely based on skill, because as you're growing so fast, you're like, oh, I need this person. And it really deterred those who I wanted to maintain and to continue to engage. And I call it the expired milk syndrome. When you have someone that doesn't fit your culture and you just keep them there, it starts to like stink and everyone starts to get sick around them. And so it's that energy vampire type status. But I think you do have to be, as a startup founder or as a founder of your own brand, which is everyone in this room, you have the ability to build your own culture. You have the ability to identify those key people in your life. And you also have the ability to say when it's time for those people to leave. And that's including, defriending people. If I see something on my feed that really disturbs me, I will literally just defriend them. Not unfollow, no thank you. That is not a part of my life. Still being cognizant of different opinions, different perspectives, that's not what I mean. But if something is really sucking energy from you, whether it's in your real life or online, don't be afraid to to let it go, throw out that expired milk.
No, it's absolutely perfect. And so I think the next piece that I know all of you have different opinions on, which is, again, why we are all here, is to learn. And that is to understand that, again, it's your personal brand. And I think we have everything on social media. So we have every single type of platform out there. And so, of course, what I want to then understand, and this can be from a personal standpoint, this can be from a brand standpoint, you know, I'll take myself as an example. I'm not on every single platform. Now, I have things on Pinterest. Now, I know what you guys are going to do. Now you're going to look up on Pinterest and see what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything. I might have some secret boards that I'm doing, but that's not my place, and that's not my house, and that's okay. And I think what I would love to hear from everybody else is, you know, understanding where you belong. And so for me, that's Twitter. Probably, you know, Twitter is number one for me. YouTube is number two. I love being on YouTube. I love doing videos. Now, that's not for everybody. And I think that a lot of people start to just think, well, hey, this is the new shiny thing. I need to be on it. And then when you're trying to present your authentic self, you're not able to do that because, again, it's not really matching with who you are. If you are terrified of a camera and a lens in your face or a red light if you're doing media segments, then please do not do video because it will actually harm your personal brand more than do good for you. And so what suggestions, and even, you know, like I said, this can be from a personal standpoint, from a brand standpoint, how do you help define where you need to be when there's so many places that you can go?
Yeah. So I'll start from a personal, because I don't think you guys want to hear about Dell corporate social media platforms. I can happy to talk to you afterwards. But I think for me, it's where I feel comfortable. So I loved what Amanda said when she's like, hey, I don't really use Snapchat. Like, I go out and try the new platforms, and you understand very quickly if this is one that you're going to thrive in, that's going to bring you energy, or if it becomes arduous and work. And the ones that you actually find engaging are the ones you continue on that fit with your personality. So I'm like Stephanie, I love Twitter, probably because it's 140 characters and I can engage very quickly. I live in a world of sound bites, but I do absolutely go out and try the new ones as they come along, and I think it's really, really important. And I don't think it matters your age or demographic based upon the new platforms that are coming out. You just have to try them and see if it clicks with how you want to engage in social.
Mm-hmm. So I wrote a whole book on this.
You should have gone first.
No, I agree with everything you said. I think, first of all, you cannot be everywhere. You cannot. And if you are everywhere, you're not doing any one of those things well. Yeah. You just can't. I think that, you know, for me, same thing. I mean, we were probably all early adopters on Twitter, but I feel the same way. I think the advantage of jumping on a new platform and sticking with it now is that if you do that, you will grow your following very, very quickly. So when Periscope came out and people jumped on Periscope, I actually watched to see like who was really, really like consciously doing that multiple times a day, every day. And those people, who by the way, are totally random people, these are not influencers, these are just normal people, they now have really big followings because they stuck with it. So you can take advantage of a new platform in that way. Personally, I started to see the kinds of content that they were doing on Periscope, for example, and no, I'm not interested in seeing what's inside your refrigerator, but maybe some people are interested in that. So I think you have to decide, kind of like Liz said, like, you know, is this making you happy? When it starts to feel obligatory, you're on the wrong platform. And it should be a joy. It should be something that you enjoy doing and something that enhances your life, not like, oh God, I gotta go post. And, you know, as former DKNY PR girl, when everyone else is sort of creating these huge content calendars, I never had a content calendar. I always posted off the cuff in real time because that's how I want it to be. I want it to be authentic in the moment. And if that meant that I didn't post anything for 6 hours, 8 hours, then I didn't post for 6 or 8 hours. It was never automated. And I think when you automate your social media, you're doing yourself a disservice.
So I'm going to be revolutionary, and I'm going to say that you need to assess whether or not you need to be on social media. I'm just going to be, all right? And let me tell you why. So this will not be the prevailing thought, but I'm going to tell you why. I think if you are representing a business and that's your job, that's a different situation. I think if you are a startup and that's your requirement because you got to be out there, that's a different requirement. For me, however, right, I don't have a startup. I'm not writing a book. I have no desire at all, right, to create that type of social profile. I happen to work for a very long time in a defense world with very top clearance, and my goal was not to advocate myself in the environment, okay? One of the things I was required to do, right, and I recognize that, is I do have a LinkedIn profile, and although I do have all the social media, it's private and it's personal, and only because I desire it for myself. So I do think you have the right to make the assessment of whether that is necessary for you. And I will tell you that I was able to fully establish my personal brand in my professional space without all of the social media requirements. And in fact, would argue that it was preferred within my internal space that our media would stay internal. And as a result of that, we created internal company media spaces so that they would not be shared, because I'm a consultant, and obviously my client doesn't want their stuff on social media, right? So I have privacy requirements. So what I would say, you guys, is that social media, you need to consider that it does create a public profile for you, and you need to always assess that in terms of how you're perceived in your personal brand. But I would also argue that there are those situations where it's not necessary for you to do that, and so you should make a very thoughtful assessment as to what tools you need to be on and whether you need to be in those tools. And if that's not your thing, the world will not end. The millennials might die, for any millennials in the room, right? But the world will not end, right? And so that's my revolutionary comment for today.
I fully agree with that, by the way. And I would just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
First and foremost, ahead of any social media platform, you guys, is how you are when you are in person with somebody else. When you walk in a room, what statement are you making?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Because you are making one and you are being judged. Newsflash, breaking news. Everyone's being judged.
That's literally what I was going to say, because even if you're not on social, someone else next to you is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is that, it's just you want to be your best self all the time, you know, even if no one's watching. And I think that's, you know, my boyfriend's not on Facebook or on Twitter. It's just shocking. And I think actually millennials are leading towards that lifestyle. That's why they like Snapchat, because everything's erasable. They don't want a footprint everywhere. And I think, you know, for building your identity within these platforms, I like the idea of the consistency. Like, I tried Periscope and I was like, this is so hard. Like, I can't be live streaming my whole life all the time. But YouTube, you know, we worked with some YouTubers, and what we learned was, sorry, I'm way past over a cold, so don't worry.
I didn't give it to her.
What we learned from YouTubers is they said, you know, everyone goes to YouTube and they say, how do I create a viral video? And what, you know, the head of YouTube content said was, you know, why would you want to have 15 minutes of fame? That would be like a musician going to a label and saying, I want 15 minutes of fame. Mm-hmm. And what they said is, you know, these influencers that were normal people and now are influencers are so consistent with their videos. And what I think is so incredible about, you know, social media, particularly YouTube, is as a teacher, I remember my middle schoolers, you know, telling me that they were going to go to a concert for this new kid that they found on YouTube, and there was 15 of them going to the mall, and it was Justin Bieber. So there is this insider trading of marketing, where if you really start to go on a platform early, as you said, and start to support and amplify, even if you're not necessarily sharing, I do believe that you can really build a community, even if you don't feel comfortable necessarily sharing on your own behalf.
That's perfect. Well, I know Stephanie's back there and ready for questions that you all might have, so I know that we'll be somewhat limited on time, but I'm sure there's a lot of questions out there, and we'd like to try to answer them for you.
Hi. So you talked about getting up and speaking to people and asking their opinion of you. Okay. I'm so accustomed to being loud that I'm being told to be, okay. How do you tactfully ask for someone else's opinion and perception of you?
You know, I think what I would say is it goes back to just being yourself and being unafraid to ask. And so by personality, and I'm sure y'all can assess that back to your judgment, I'm a very direct individual. That is who I am, right? I'm sure that's not shocking to anyone in here, right? Because you establish yourself, right? So because I'm direct, then I ask directly. I'm like, hey, I really need some help right now. I'm trying to figure this out. I mean, can you just tell me straight? Like, what do you think about me? Or what do you think about how I handled this situation? Or what do you think of my skills in this area? Or when you think about X, right? And so whatever it is I'm trying to understand from them, right, I ask very pointed questions. And another thing I would argue is don't just ask anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is very important that you consider who you ask.
Yeah.
One, where are they? Why do you think they are an individual who can offer you this feedback point? Are they someone that's had direct interaction with you? And are they someone you respect and admire, right? Because you don't want opinions from everybody. Everyone's opinion does not matter, regardless of what people tell you.
And I will add to that, and I think women in general need to take this. Don't be afraid of no.
Right.
Who cares? Move on. Don't be afraid of asking any questions ever, because the worst you can hear is no.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you very much for taking your time to be here today. I worked in the defense industry, so I had no social media for a very, very long time. And I just recently switched careers. I'm a realtor now, and so now I have to really use social media. But some of the things that I find is what people perceive of you is really, really important. It may not be a fact, but it's really important to do. And many years ago, I went and did a little survey on one of the brandings, what people think of you, and I sent out to my coworkers who, I look young, and I'm energetic, and I was working with a bunch of PhD people, and I drove them nuts. But I wanted to know what they actually thought of me, and a couple of the key questions that were asked were, if you were a cereal, what kind of cereal would Dawn be? The response was eye-opening, and they asked the same thing, was, if you were a car, what kind of car would Dawn be? It sounds really weird, but when someone says you're a box of grape nuts, you're like, huh? And the response was very good for you, just hard to swallow sometimes.
Oh my God.
You're like, whoa, I need to change something. I didn't mean that. But it was really eye-opening to me, and what my boss had said to me was, I can't believe you did that, and that's awesome. I don't want to know what people think of you.
Yeah.
And so it kind of is like, as I go through my life, I kind of go, wow, that was really cool, because I actually did learn how to bond with those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it was like, okay, you think I'm a grape nut. How do I become better tasting to you? So it was a really cool experience, but that was part of one of the seminars I had been to, and I loved it. And it's really figuring out now when people... how people perceive you is really important today, especially in our workforce, being women, and some of those stereotypes that are there. I find it very interesting watching, kind of going, okay, it's my responsibility to make sure people are seeing me in the correct light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hear you women saying.
Yes.
If I took away today from the talk, was the most important thing to me is to have that reassured.
I like that. And I think the other part that I would say to that is you shouldn't apologize for who you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I'm,
right. I mean, you should be thankful for it. But you'd be surprised at how many people work for me, apologize to me in the office for who they are or something that they do.
Well, and what I loved about what you said was that you first of all, awesome job in embracing that feedback. Like, you know, that's a brave move, and I great questions that the survey asked. But it also gave you insights that enabled you never to change or to apologize, but how you alter maybe some communication styles for different people. Mm. And that's an invaluable learning. It's not changing ever who you are, but I always say it's kind of modulating depending on the audience you're talking to, right?
Yes, it is. It's tweaking that. You know, you talk to someone, I'm bright and I'm here and I'm going in, and they're like, you always bother me. Well, okay, so what do I need to do to not bother you?
Was this anonymous?
It was anonymous, but it was such a small group you could figure out who it was.
Right.
You got a little bit of a brain there. I'm like, oh, okay, I know who you are. So it was really cool, and I was able to actually mend every single one of those relationships and still have a relationship with them today. Because I was, you know, quite a bit younger, and they made me the manager, and they're like, okay, why? And so it was really breaking that ice and figuring out, okay, how do I reach you? So, awesome. But anyways, there's other questions. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Grape Nuts PR team is like all over this right now. They're probably anyone who's tweeted that.
We have a question here.
I have a question and also maybe an answer. I had my own private practice in years ago, and like today, I'm 80 years old, and I'm a little bit retired because I'm listening to all of you. And all your answers and your questions are so, so intelligent. And this is the thing about, I wish I would have had those answers when I was young, a young professional. I can't believe that I'm done, you know. I am not, but I had my time like you are having it. And we didn't have any computers or, you know. All the things that are coming out, to me, they scare me. Because you don't know. Let me tell you, you don't know when it's going to come and hit you right in the face. And all the examples you are giving, you know, each one of you, for example, the young lady in the middle, the idea of you taking pictures of yourself and see how you answer and how you look, it takes a long time. And I'm wondering, when do you have time for your family?
Oh my God. First of all, you look amazing. Okay?
I'm not finished.
This is great.
And then the lady with the white dress. That's it. Seems to me that
white dress,
you know, taking it for myself. If I went and asked somebody, well, what do you think about me? You know, what I'm thinking. What do you think about me? First of all, if you better be ready, because they're gonna hit you with some of them are gonna not be nice, and if you don't know how to take it, if you don't have a thick skin. Uh-huh. Man, it's gonna hurt you for the next 7 days to feel very good about what you, and you're going to say, I shouldn't have gone there. Each one of you were terrific.
Thank you.
No, wait a minute. I just want to say one more thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh my goodness. I admire you. Honest. I don't want to be your age anymore because whatever I had done has been truthful. I don't remember the word. But everything has been perfect. I had it perfect. But I don't want to be your age anymore. Because those computers, they are terrible.
Amazing.
And you are not done either, by the way.
A couple of you mentioned cloud searching. It sounded that's what you were saying, and that doing this kind of search would give you an indication of what words were most common in your posts and that sort of thing. Can you speak on that? I've never heard of that under social media.
Yeah, Clout. So you could literally just go on Clout, and you could add your different profiles, and then they will tell you. And also, obviously, be cognizant, because if you use the word killer, you might say that, again, horror, which I thought was great, but it's Clout. Clout.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Hi, I just kind of really wanted to ask, like, is there ever really a perfect time or just an adjustable time to act to ask people when you should, like, trying to build your platform? Is there ever a perfect time to ask someone, like, what do you think of me? Or, like, what do you think, like, how I've been, like, progressing my life? Or if you're ever trying to, like, get that job, like, how would you go about that? It's like, is there ever a perfect time?
I mean, I think before you, if you're in a, first of all, let's just say, never leave a position before you have another job, okay? But I think before you go applying to something or you go to join something new, that's a great time for self-assessment, you know, because you want to make sure all your ducks in a row before you pitch yourself. So it's a constant, you're going to do it over and over and over again. So you have to start somewhere, you know, and then you're going to redo it again the next time. I mean, every time I send out a document, either a bio or whatever it is, like, I always read it through again. That document's never perfect. And every time I read it, I'm like, oh, did I really write that? I don't agree with that anymore. So you constantly have to edit yourself and reassess.
And I think, you know, thinking about if you're in a conversation with someone on another topic, there's nothing wrong as you end that conversation to tee up the idea that, hey, I'm actually working on building my profile, and I would love to be able to come back to you and talk to you about how you perceive me, things you can do. So I think there's never a perfect time, but how you seed it into other conversations is perfectly acceptable. And to Lisa's point, and don't be afraid if they say no, right? It's okay. It's not personal to you.
Thank you so much. Ladies, did you not get some great nuggets to take away today? Let's give them a huge round of applause, please. Thank you so much. This is the ending of our series. If you want to see the Big Austin booth, we're at 325 in the exhibit hall. We would love to talk to you. And again, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.